once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the island nation of Sri Lanka, where, as we've continued to say time and again, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ remains Lord. Jesus Christ has been, is, always will be Lord over all, every situation. In all things, He is in control and He has the Lordship. And His will is going to be done. It is being done. It is being done right now. We are living in the middle in the midst of God's will being accomplished in earth as it is in heaven. And it's where people line up in comparison to the will of God, be it God's will being accomplished in spite of them, or God's will being accomplished in collaboration with them, and them being aligned with His will and His plan and purpose. You know, God gives us the privilege of choosing. Choose this day whom you will serve. I mean, God gives you the privilege of choosing if you want to be part of His agenda or not, His plan or not. Or He gives you the choice to oppose Him and be a piece of furniture on the stage. But His will is going to be done. And regardless of people like it or not, believe it or not, are subjecting themselves to it or not, doesn't matter. It's going to happen. It is a force that cannot be opposed. And the irony is that God's will is accomplished in so many situations, in so many circumstances, that you and I, it wouldn't make sense to the natural mind, but when you look back in retrospect, then you see the hand of God. You know, the cross is the ultimate example. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the earth with everything stacked against Him, and yet the prophetic word of God had gone forth. You know, over 300 plus prophecies in scriptures recorded that He fulfilled, all of them. He fulfilled everything in the scriptures spoken about who the Messiah would be, how the Messiah would come, what the Messiah would do. He fulfilled all of it. And then on the cross spoke, "It is finished." And it was finished. It was done. All righteousness had been fulfilled in Him. And yet, if that was the plan and purpose of God, the salvation of the people of God, the children of God, through that, it was completely contrary to the way people thought about it. People were expecting a conquering king. They were expecting, you know, something similar to what it was that God had done in David's time and in Solomon's reign of establishing that kingdom. They weren't expecting the lordship of the Father to be set up in the hearts of all humanity as they would follow Him, and that kingdom growing and expanding and filling the whole earth, surpassing every geographical barrier. His kingdom is in the realm of spirit. Jesus even said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, He set up His kingdom and established it, and it grows and fills the whole earth even now. So regardless of what people do and may try to do to oppose the will of God, God's kingdom continues to flourish and expand and grow forward. Now, in the midst of that, you and I, we live lives in this dimension, in this paradigm, at this time. We're in time. We're in this world, but not of it. But, yeah, we're here. And for whatever reason, we have dreams. We have hopes, we have expectations, we have desires, we have frustrations. We have a lot of things that go into, you know, just who we are. And, you know, God breaks us. And, you know, this is hard. This is a really, really hard part of being broken by the hand of God, so that it's His life and not ours. It's His will and not ours. It's His plan and purpose and not ours. And we would submit ourselves to that will and plan and purpose of God. You know, if you continue to follow Him, He will take you to your death. The death of yourself, the death to everything that you hope for, everything that you dreamed, everything that you thought. And in that dying to yourself, you will find abundant life. You will find the truth. You will find what's real. And without dying to that, you will end up with nothing. Jesus said, "What is it profit of man to gain the whole world and let yet lose his soul? What does it profit you to get it all, but miss the thing that was really important?" Now, along the way, along this journey, if you choose to follow Him, there will be things that come to seek to bring you back, to pull you back. And if it were not for the Spirit of God, if it were not for the power of God, if it were not for Him working in and through you, we couldn't do it. I mean, we couldn't do it. There's no way. There is no way that you and I could ward off, fight off, just survive if it were not for His Spirit leading and guiding us, His angels having charge over us, His making a way for us through this thing. Because frankly, in the natural, you and I, we are outnumbered. We are outnumbered, we are outgunned, and it's been like that since we were born. Since we were born into this life, we've been outnumbered. And yet, even as Elijah said, when they were surrounded by the Syrians, he said, "Let God open the servant's eyes so that he can see that those that are with us are more than those that are against us." And that's the whole chariots of fire thing. And he saw in the dimension of spirit that at the end of the day, we've got the advantage. Children of God have the advantage. Greater is He that lives in us than he that's in the world. We have the power. We have the strength. We have that which is necessary to be a success. And success according to God's terms. What is success according to God's terms? Well, success is obedience. Success is in the obedience, not in the outcome. Yeah, I know. That's a different way to relate, isn't it? Jesus said, "I came not to do my will, but to do the will of the Father. To do the will of Him who sent me." Jesus was all about the Father's will. You and I should be all about the Father's will. Now, for myself, I don't know where that goes sometimes, because it's a bit confusing. Oh, I shouldn't say that. It's not confusing. All right. It's just sometimes what happens is you and I get into situations where we're like, "Okay, Lord, now what?" Because you are following Him, but when things don't work out in your own thinking, in your own estimation, now what do you do? See, here's one thing that happens so often. Somebody will walk with Christ, begin walking with Christ, and then they have a perception that now, as a result of walking with Him, everything's going to work, right? Everything's going to work out. Things are going to be, quote unquote, better. And they may be or they may not be. That's not the focus. That's not the emphasis. The emphasis is His presence. See, with each person, God knows what He needs to do. He knows where you're at. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows where you're strong. He knows what needs to take place with you. And so, accordingly, He knows what each person needs. The road that they need to take to be transformed into the image and likeness of His Son. In that unique way that they are as created beings, empowered by Him, part of His body. See, each one of us is also different. This is what is so incredible about this process, too. You and I are different. You and I have different skills, different talents, different abilities, different things that bring joy to our heart, different things that encourage us on a daily basis, different things that we can stand and we can take, different tolerances, different, you know, we are different, and yet the Spirit of God, the same Spirit, lives in us and makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. That same Spirit makes a way where there is no way for us to become what He intended for us to be. He does that. But you're unique. And so that's why, too, conformity doesn't work for us. See, if I try to conform, I try to then conform to what? What somebody else created of what they think I should be. Oh, so you think they know me better than God knows me? You think they know you better than God knows you? No. No, conformity works for very stringent military structure. Yeah, that works better. Conformity works for control. But, and conformity works also if you're trying to move product or goods and services. But when you're dealing with something that is organic, when you're dealing with something that is that functions in a different way. I mean, look at God's creation. Just because there's a lot of hints in God's creation to His nature, to his priorities, to the way that He works. I mean, look at trees. I mean, there is a pre-programmed nature within the very genetic code of a tree that is incredibly organized, incredibly structured, and yet they grow freely. They have a way that they function. They stay within the parameters of how they were created. But each one is unique. Each one is different. Like you. Every person, with what, 7 billion people in the world, and not a one of them has the same fingerprint? Isn't that amazing? Could you make 7 billion variations look at your thumb right now. Look at your thumb. One, like, about like an inch, you know, 1 inch by maybe a half inch, and over 7 billion different variations of what a fingerprint would be. And he's not done. Isn't that incredible? And God showed in that though, you know, there is the parameter set for, you know, humanity, and yet He has creativity and individuality within those parameters. See, God doesn't want conformity. He wants uniqueness within the confines of what He set, the limitations of what He set. See, when somebody walks with Christ, you know, in Him we live and move and have our being. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So there is a place in Alpha and Omega. There is a place between the in Him we live and move and have our being. There is a place of spiritual existence that when you're in that, you're completely free. You're free completely within that parameter. But outside of that, there's only death. Outside of that, there's only things that dry up and die. So that's why the world works so hard to get you outside of that parameter. It works so hard to get you away from Him, to get you away from the source of your life. You know, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's none. None whatsoever. You know, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that accuses. He's the one that says what he does about you and I. And he's the one that brings that condemnation against your heart, against your mind. You know what God will do? He'll just speak to you gently and just show you. He's going to show you. He will. If there's something that is off with you, the Spirit of God will speak to you. He will correct you. He will help you to understand. God wants you to live in that freedom. He wants you to be free. See, this is another part too. There are bondages that people live with in their minds, in their hearts, and all kinds of bondages. You know, I mean, we see sometimes some of them are very apparent. You know, things from the dark side are very apparent. That people have and people struggle with. You know, bondages to, you know, certain kinds of debt, certain kinds of mind control patterns, soul ties, sexual bondages. We have, you know, there's all kinds of bondages that people have that are very apparent. There's also other bondages too that seem like something good for a lot of people. Religious bondages, mind control, where, you know, I mean, people, they substitute something for the real relationship with God. That happens too. And that's something that is just as damaging as anything else. But it has to be exposed for what it is. And people get comfortable in their bondages. People really do. They learn to exist with them. They learn to become comfortable with them. Because why? Because they get used to them. They have a comfort. Because that bondage itself is also like a pillow. It's also something they can rely on. It's also something they know will be there. So for them, it's like, okay, this is the way that I relate. This is what I do. This is what I don't do. This is how it works. And, you know, that process leaves them in a place where it is not relationship anymore. It is religion. It's a system of rules. It's a system of rituals. And now what happens when that's broken? Now what happens when that doesn't work anymore? Now what happens when God has moved on and you have not? Will you humble yourself before the hand of God and realize that unless He shows you, you don't know. Unless He leads you, you don't know where you're going. You don't know what to do. You wouldn't know the decision to make unless He shows you. You know, it is a scary thing to realize how incredibly dependent you are on whatever it is that God shows you, period. There's nowhere else you can go. There's nowhere else that you can go. And, you know, in this process, you and I, He's not left us without hope. He's not left us without direction. He's not left us without the Comforter that leads and guides us into all truth. See, He will show you. He will lead you. He will guide you. But you got to trust Him. And you got to give up the rules and regulations that you've created for yourself that choke the life and make it unfruitful. Look, just ask Him. Day by day, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, You show me, You lead me, You guide me. I trust You. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to relate to what's in front of me, but I trust You. And I will take boldness in the way that You lead me. I will take boldness in the way that You instruct me, because I know that You have life and my best interest at heart. Lord God, I trust You. I believe You. I know that You know what You're doing with me. So to those ends, Lord God, would You please help me this day? Would you please show me this day? Would you please comfort my heart this day? Because without you, Lord God, I got nowhere to go. I have nothing that I can do unless you show me. And you know what? When you pray and you're honest with the Father, you got to be honest with Him. That's one thing too. Seriously, people are not honest with God. They aren't. They will talk about all these things, but they won't quite cross over when they go to prayer and just be honest with Him about what's in their heart and what they struggle with. But God knows. And He's just waiting to work on your behalf. Just waiting for it. He's waiting for it to come from you. Because as it comes from you, He then responds. But He won't override your will. It's your will that's going to be done in your life. And as you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. You yield your will to His. And in that yielding, there is peace. In that yielding, there is the opening for the floodgates of heaven to pour in and through your life. And in that process, you see and experience His life, His peace, His will, His way in your life each and every day. Okay. So, let's talk about it, shall we? Let's be a bit real and a bit raw about what life is and what it is to be here in this life as one marked for Christ, and to be in this reality, going through this experience in all that it is. For all those that have come before, and for those that would come after, if God would tarry, what this whole thing is about. You know, wouldn't you like to know? You know, isn't it something that just, I mean, we're here, we're spending our time, we're doing different things, we're putting our hands to projects, to endeavors, to creating things, to music, to activities, to relationships, to business ventures, to all of these different things, reading and studying and praying and traveling and all of whatever things that people may do in their time here on earth. Wouldn't you like to know what it's all about? Don't you want to know what is meaningful, what has purpose, what is real, what has value, and what does not? You know, there is a frustration. There is something that grates at the child of God's heart for every moment that they live and exist in this life. You know, even scriptures talk about how for Lot, when he lived in Sodom, that it vexed his spirit. You know, that it was hard for him to live in that place. Though he succeeded in the natural, in his spirit, because he was a righteous man, he was pulled out of that place. But in his spirit, to be in that place, it grated at him. It was there was an agony in his soul in what it was that he had to be experiencing in that time while he was there. And you and I, we feel the same thing. In our life, in our experience, wherever it is that you may be in this world, you feel that. You experience that. You know there's something not right. Not right about this time, this paradigm, this set of experiences we call life. And you try to find some peace. You try to find some comfort. You try to find a place where things will give you rest. And yet it stays away from you. Yet it eludes you. So you look for it in a relationship. You look for it in somebody else. You look for it in something outside of yourself. And you may find it. Some people find a relationship, but after a window of time, that thing doesn't quite do it for them. Or you may not find a relationship, and you may set your heart in pursuit of that, but it doesn't quite happen. Or you may chase after certain things, certain possessions, certain activities. Maybe you just put yourself to work. You say, all right, I'm going to numb the pain of being in this place. So I'm just going to dig in. I'm going to become a workaholic. I'm going to clock in. I'm going to become a success. I'm going to rack up the numbers. And that now will be my life. That now will be my experience here. And 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 25 years ago, click through, click, click, click. And the numbers increase and the seconds of your life decrease. All the while, nothing has been changed. That resolution, that peace eludes you. That stillness is still not found. And in everything that goes on, you look at the world around you. You see the things that are happening and that take place. And you wonder, why so much suffering? Why so much pain? Why so much time and misery? People doing atrocities to each other. You try to help, but the little that you do, it feels like just a drop in the ocean compared to the pain and the evil that takes place. You feel like there's not much that you can do that would actually make that much of a difference. But you still try. In your own way, within the existence that you have, you still try. You do the best with what you got. You make the most out of what you can. In quiet desperation, you do what you can. Praying and asking, Lord God, how now do I live? How now do I make the most out of this life, out of this existence, out of this place, out of this time? Is there a reason for me being here? Is there a purpose behind all of this? Why, Lord God? Why did you make me? For what reason am I here? For what purpose am I experiencing the pain and the agony and the heartbreak? What did I do to be here? Is there something that I did? Did I wrong you? Did I do something right? How must I live? What must I do? And you go through life with these questions. You go through life with this pain. And somewhere along the way, God does. When you ask, you receive. When you seek, you find. When you knock, the door is open. And along the way, God does hear. But He allows you to go through those things for a season. You got to know what it's like to experience that pain. You know, that pain makes you, it's part of your humanity. Jesus Christ was the Son of Man. And He experienced in Himself everything that made Himself human. Son of God, Son of Man. All 100% God, 100% man. Experienced all of it. And He didn't turn away from the pain. He didn't turn away from the agony of this experience in this life. He embraced it. Isaiah talks about Him being a man of sorrows. And if you would walk in His footsteps, you too will be a person of sorrows. You will know what it is to have pain of heart and agony of heart. You will know what it is to weep. You will know what it is to experience the pain of this life, of being a child of God, walking through a world that's at enmity with Him. And yet you hold on. And yet you trust Him. And yet though you cry tears in the night, His joy comes in the morning. God does something in you. He does something in you. His light shines through you amidst your trials, amidst the circumstance, amidst everything that you would struggle with, the pain that you would face. God does something in you and does something through you. You know, God bless you guys that write in. I recently had a few encouraging emails from people, and you know, I thank you guys that write in, because it does encourage us as well. And we encourage you, you encourage us. But I tell you, as messed up as my life sometimes feels in the natural, I know that God works through this broken vessel to do something. And He works through you, a broken vessel, to do something, to accomplish His purposes, to shine light in a dark world, to make the truth known. There is a way. There is a path. There is a blessing. And for the child of God, part of this journey is experiencing and discovering and figuring that out. You know, you and I were not meant to walk this thing alone. We weren't meant to experience this life completely alone. We were meant to walk through with the Spirit of God comforting us. He is the comforter. He is the comforter, and He knows what you go through. And in the midst of that, as you trust Him, that life of His flows into yours. And though you be broken, yet He grants you peace. Though you be tossed and turned on every side, though on every side you have agony of soul, and yet He's with you. He promised He'd never leave you, never forsake you, always be with you. You know, there is a place of peace in this whole thing. There is. But it comes on His terms. It comes under His instruction. It comes under His guidance. And without Him leading the way, there is no way. Without Him expanding your horizon, giving clarity to your heart, there is no chance. You see, you and I needed a Savior because we couldn't save ourselves. We, in our own best effort, in our own best thinking, were undone. There was no way forward for us. There was no chance forward for us. You know, sometimes you will face what seems to be an impossible situation in which no matter what you try to do, it just doesn't work. No matter what it is that you try to accomplish, no matter what way you try to move forward, it just doesn't happen. And in that time, and in that place, in the brokenness of your own heart, in the brokenness of your own spirit, when you cry out to God, He's there. When you ask Him, you ask, you receive. When you seek, you find. When you knock, the door is open. And God, in the midst of that, in the midst of the agony of your soul, He knows. He knows your frame. He knows what breaks your heart. He knows what you and I need. And you know, and He will break you. Oh my gosh, He will break you. But don't run from that. Submit yourself unto His mighty hand and allow Him to do in you what it is that He wants to do. He is the potter. You are the clay. You know, I have very close people to me that have done things like pottery, and they explained to me even like how that potter's wheel works, and how in that potter's wheel, the potter himself, he has to put, as he rolls that wheel, one of the things that happens in that pot when it goes on the wheel and it's going and it's rolling and rolling and rolling, is the potter is putting, there's little things called platelets inside the clay. And when they roll that clay on the wheel in a circle, as they smooth it out like that, they're moving it all in a particular direction. And it's not something you can see with the natural eyes, but you can, if you look closer, you could see it under like a microscope. It's the same reason why they need that clay as well, to just get it to the point, because then when it is fired, when it's fired inside the kiln, it holds together. It's strong. It makes for a strong dish. And if you don't do that, if the potter doesn't do that, the master potter, it will break up when it goes into the fire. And sometimes when we're being worked over, that's what God's doing with us. He's aligning us. He's aligning your life and getting you ready for the fire. Because even so, it's all part of the process. So that when you go into the fire, you don't crack up. You don't break into pieces. You hold together. You know, there's a buddy of mine, years ago we talked about this one time, and he said, you know, there's a day of your showing. There is a day when God holds you up and says, this is what I've made. This is what I made. And He will do that with our lives. But we're in that process. We're in that line. We're in that set of experiences where we get bludgeoned into what it is that He wants us to be as you follow Him. What did Job say? Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Yes, God slays us. Absolutely. He slays us, He breaks us. Scriptures talk about how it was God's will to crush His own Son. You know, that scripture blew me away the first time I saw that one. It was God's will to crush His own Son. Now, if that's God's will regarding Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, where do you and I fall in that process? You know, most people seek to avoid pain and seek for pleasure. They seek to avoid the tough circumstances of life. But God, knowing what it is that we need, allows us to experience the full measure of what it is to follow Him and to be one of His in this life. And you and I, as we follow Him, as you trust Him, as you go through this whole thing, we are counted worthy of the name. You know, when the early followers of Christ, when they were beat up and tortured and hurt, they praised God because they were counted worthy of the name. They thanked God because what they went through was because the name they bear. Thank God that you are worthy of His name, that you've been counted worthy. You and I are in this. Look, you're in this to the end. You're in this to your death. You can either mouse your way through this thing, apologizing the whole way, trying to just sort of make it just sort of scrape by, or you can put your shoulders back, pick your head up, set your shoulders on the horizon that God has given you vision for, and say out loud, I am a child of the living God. Greater is He that lives in me than he that's in this world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And therefore, I can do this. And whatever it is that God's put in your hand to do at this time, that is the this. And know that God grants success to His people. Know that God grants encouragement to His people. God grants a way forward to His people. God breaks light in the darkness. Hope where there is despair. Vision where there is blindness. And a way forward where there seems to be no way. God does that for His people. And God does that for you. God does that for me. And though at times you feel in yourself the very sentence of death, again, God speaks life into you. God speaks life to you. God brings His life, flows through you into a broken, hard, hurt world. And keep going. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Because, you know, the one encouragement always, always, always to every child of God, in every church age, in every set of experiences of whatever life has ever held, for every child of God, one thing that every one of us is told is to Him who overcomes. You know, somebody wrote in once and said, when you talk about overcoming a lot, you know why? Yes, absolutely. You know why God has me talking about that? It's because that's what we all have to do. Every one of us. Every one of us is called to overcome. Every one of us is called to remain in Him and His words remain in us and to be what God made you to be and to overcome. You're called for that. You and I were called to overcome. And in this process, you got to trust Him. And know that He that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Hold nothing in you this life so dear that you would not let it go for the sake of following Christ. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing with you. He will not fail you. He will not allow your foot to stumble. He's going to carry you through. He's going to walk with you through this entire thing. And when you're done, when this life is over, He's going to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into your Father's rest. So until then, keep on keeping on and smile. God's got you. So with that, hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Drop us an email. faithmix@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And yeah, you're going to be all right. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.